You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is a very sleepy Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet. What a blessing it is to wake up every day. One more day.
That's right.
And a few more coming.
And you get us on 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, there we also archive the shows. And you could just pick any Monday from 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share all of that information on our social media channels, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Well, Sita does a little bit more of TikTok than most. And then we also have our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. We share the bios of all of our guests as well as pictures of the show. And yeah, wow, getting in from LA at 6:30 this morning and being at a show at noon. You're a trooper. You are a trooper.
Well, you know what? I went for a bridal shower. My son is getting married to a beautiful girl named Samantha. And so that we're going to have a Jewish wedding. They're going to put a little bit of Hindu things here and there. But for the most part, that's the fate that they're going to choose for if God should bless them with children. And I met some really wonderful people at that bridal shower. Oh, my God. Everyone is so slim and trim and dressed so wonderfully. And, you know, the place that we had the shower was just gorgeous.
And I saw you were learning some Yiddish words.
Yeah.
Getting back to your roots from Indiana. Was it Indiana was?
Oh, yeah. I remember. That's right. But anyway, so I was there for the weekend, and I'm happy that my son is getting married. I think it's good when you find a partner. I love weddings. I really do. And so I boarded my flight. I came home, and I mopped the kitchen floor this morning, wiped all the counter. It's a Trini thing. Even though the house is clean as can be, I just like seeing things sparkly, you know? That's just how it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so then I prepped for our show, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, we have such a wonderful show today. And, of course, we've got so many guests that are repeat guests or repeat customers or repeat friends that enjoy your program. And one of those people for our listeners who are tuning in today is our friend Phoebe, and Phoebe is going to be on the second segment. Phoebe Walker. I don't know why you have a couple of names, and your husband's name is on there.
Yes,
but it's just Phoebe Walker.
It is. He doesn't have a Facebook, so.
Yeah. We always say that when she comes on that he doesn't have a Facebook.
That's right. So
Phoebe, he doesn't have a Facebook.
He doesn't have a face.
It's okay. She's the neck that makes everything move in that house. So we know that. And he's a good guy.
We try.
So Phoebe's going to be on the second segment. She's the CEO of, I like to say, it sounds like it's Damsel in Distress, but it's not.
Right.
It's DAMMS411.org. And we're going to discuss her diagnosis with muscular sclerosis.
Multiple
sclerosis. And we're going to talk a little bit about dance, believe it or not, how dancing helped her. And I must say, seeing you have an MS and out of a wheelchair is wonderful. Mm. Although you do need it when you go to theme parks and things. So we'll talk about that in the second segment. Our first segment, you know, I'm always scoping up the social media to find good guests. And I came across this comedian, a beautiful lady who happens to be a Trini like myself from Trinidad. Her name is Cindy Ann Boyson, and she is a stand-up comic, an award-winning actor, an event host, a producer, known for her very sharp storytelling. and commanding stage presence. And if anybody knows Trini, ladies, we can tell stories. We're born storytellers. So I think she's on the phone, and we're going to get started with our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and chat a little bit with Cindy Ann Boyson. Cindy Ann, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Sita.
Yeah, did I say your last name correctly?
No, you said it so American. I was like, I think she's gone on the other side.
How do you say it?
It's Boisson.
Oh, God. I'm done.
Oh, you really did mess that up. Boisson. It's like croissant.
Like croissant. Yeah.
Boisson.
Yeah, it's like poisson.
Yeah. That's so funny. So you just came back from a wedding, too. You went to what, Tobago for a wedding?
Yeah, I went to Tobago for a wedding. My son's friend got married. So young, and they got married in Tobago. Like you, I love weddings, too. It reminds me that love and hope is still around. You know, I've been married 26 plus years, and I forget about love. You know, you kind of forget that love exists when you're married.
Yeah, I know. Love is a force that moves the universe, girl. And it's like my husband, I came home this morning, and I'm like, by the way, I have to go to the American Business Women's Association dinner on Tuesday. And listen to me trying to pretend I'm such a nice wife and that I ask. I go, is it okay if I go? Because guilt is killing me. I'm like, I've been going from the house to Los Angeles Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And I'm here bouncing in Monday morning having coffee with him. And he says, why do you ask? You're going to do it anyways. He said, you know, I've told you throughout our marriage, you don't ever have to ask because I trust you. And I respect what you do. So I'm like, oh, well, in that case, I'm flying out. But you're right. You know, when you're married, you do forget a lot of things. You take things for granted sometimes.
You do. So I look at this young couple and I'm like, oh, they're so full of hope. You know what I mean? They're so in love. I'm like, let 5-10 years pass them by when they realize they really can't stand each other. You know what I mean? But it just had to keep the wheels rolling. You know what I mean? You get to that point where the wheels just roll on their own. And they're like, all right, I guess we're in this for life. Let's go.
Well, you know, if you notice a lot of couples, like I used to do a survey with my kids when we went to Disney. You know how people get so tickled pink that they're going to Disney and they're going to buy the tickets and eat the turkey leg? So one day I decided to look at the faces of the men at Disney. Not the woman. I swear to you, up to today, I didn't see one man smiling. These poor men.
Their pockets are burning.
It was the pocket, and it was also the fact that the poor men, you could see this invisible rope around their neck. That these women and children are pulling these poor guys, and the poor man is pulling a wagon with kids, and he's sweating, and the wife is looking all pretty, walking. She's taking pictures for her friends, and I'm thinking, why do you bring the poor men here? Leave them home.
Right.
Oh, we have to have a family experience. But nobody's happy. It's miserable. But anyways, So talk to us a little bit. You're having a show in Daytona, right? And you said you were going to tell us about that. Are you headlining that show as well? Is it a comedy event?
It's a comedy show, a stand-up comedy show I'm headlining.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually another Trini girl for me. So it'd be a really good show. Two women. I mean, it's happening in May. May is the month of mothers. And it would be lovely to have a nice full house. And it's my first time in Daytona Beach headlining at Christy B Comedy Club, May 22nd. So people could look forward. And I don't do Caribbean comedy because I think sometimes, because there are not that many of us, people see, you know, that I'm from the Caribbean, I'm from Trinidad, and they think, well, I don't know if I could relate to what she has to say. But the truth is they can, because first of all, I think we all live very parallel lives. Mm. Also, I live in the U.S. now. I talk mostly about being an immigrant, and there's so many immigrants here now. We all live the same life. I've been married for a long time. I have a son. I just talk about life through the lens of an immigrant from the Caribbean, from Trinidad and Tobago.
And there's a need for that. It's really fun when you could take your experience and find comedy in it. Because, you know, like, remember Tanti Merle back in the day?
with Paulkin Douglas.
Yes. And they took everyday situations. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there was a simple skit about a passport. And, of course, Americans do the exact same thing. Americans are like myself who have an anxiety issue. You know, like, do I have my passport? Let me check. Let me look and see if this passport is in my purse. You get up in the middle of the night, even though you knew you put that passport, and you're not in Phoebe, right?
Yes, because you
want to check. And especially nowadays with Homeland Security, you better have that passport. You know,
correct.
So you could take a simple thing like that and you could add a few characters and you could have something comedic out of it. And American audiences will enjoy that as well.
Even just to your point, we all live the same life. It doesn't matter where you're from, Australia, South Africa, Ghana, Seattle, Daytona Beach, Miami, Trinidad and Tobago, Grenada. It doesn't matter, you know, Venezuela, we all live the exact same life. We just do it with a different accent and in different weather. You know what I mean? Because it's the same thing, you know, and it's great. I think comedy taught me that because I perform with people from different cultural backgrounds, I realized, wait, we're so similar. We experience in life the same way, but we just receive it and put it out in a different way because culturally we're different, you know? And so our experiences and how we see it differ, but it's the same thing. All married women allow their husbands to pay for Disney, the Disney experience, and then suffer them through it. You know,
you know what? I think I just gave you a comedy skit coming up right here.
We do the same thing. We need their card. We need them to hold the bags while we're walking through Disney. We really don't want them there. I mean, but we need...
They're like a spare tire.
We need a roadie.
Yeah.
They're like a spare tire. Just come along. Here, hold this. Hold that.
My husband is my Sherpa. My Sherpa. That's what we call it. The Sherpa.
Yeah.
So, and that's good. And I think my experience has been for people who have never seen a Trinidadian on the stage doing stand-up comedy, they're like, oh, okay. Because at first, when I started, I was a little concerned that people wouldn't get my accent. I was like, I don't know if they would. That's why I did a class. I actually started by doing a stand-up comedy class. Not because I didn't think I was funny. I just wanted to see, I mean, with my accent translate on stage, and it did, and it has, and continues.
Well, people love you. We're on your website right now. We're looking at you're beautiful. Number one, your accent is great. I could see that you have stage presence just by listening to you. But you also were on the stage with internationally recognized comedians like I want to say Ada Rodriguez and Sammy Obeid. I mean, these are high-profile people that I have seen in the comedy world. Maria Bamford. I've seen some of those people on TikToks, and they're funny as heck. And you are, too. So now, for Trini to come to the United States and not go into nursing or... I tell you, every Trini, I'm a nurse, I'm a nurse's aide, I'm in medical school, I'm a x-ray tech. They tell you, find a job that there's plenty of old people that would need help, you know, either food or nursing, right? But you broke the mold and you went into comedy. How did that happen?
Well, I always loved it. I always loved storytelling. As a kid, as a child growing up, I loved, you know, creative writing, storytelling. And I had my son when I was young, so I didn't have the opportunity because, to be honest, I mean, comedy back home, theater back home back then, people didn't used to make money even here. You know, entertainment, we work the hardest to entertain everybody, but we usually make the least amount of money until we make it. And so I was like, I can't afford to do this home. I need money to save up my son.
Yes.
But the minute I moved to Florida and he left for college, I was like, all right, this is my time. You know, they talk about the empty nest and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, no, I'm not keeping this nest. I'm tearing it down so that bird cannot fly back in. And I am going to do my thing.
I like that. You tear the nest down because they do come back. They get slick.
They try.
They get real slick. And they're like, you know, I can help you with a few things around the house if you let me stay. But
yeah, they come like just to see, do you have a worm? I mean, I don't want a whole worm, but maybe I could get a piece of your worm. And I mean, I'm like, no, I took the nest down. And I relocated my nest without saying a word so that when he tried to find the nest, I was not there.
Yeah, give him a couch. Or, you know, back home, you make a ground bed for him.
Yeah. Let him build his own nest.
So you did a one-woman show in Fort Lauderdale, and it was sold out. And it was called God's Favorite. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I did that show in 2024, but I actually started working on it, I would say, in 2021, 22, like coming out of the pandemic when life started to kind of look like, you know, like what we used to know. I had been through a lot, and I just wanted to tell my story because I felt like I needed to heal from my journey. And the best way to heal for me would be to talk about it in a way that it was funny, but it was also very reflective of my life. So it was not just it was not a stand-up comedy show. It was a one-woman show where I pulled on all people's emotions. I spoke about the fact that I had a hysterectomy and what that meant. It was a show about identity as an immigrant, as a woman, as a mother whose child left for college. Because I think in every stage of life, we our identity changed. We look at ourselves differently. You know, I had a miscarriage. That affected the way I looked at myself. I lost my both parents. That affected the way I looked at myself. I migrated. That affected my identity. And so it was just all these layers of finding home in the midst of migration, my son going to college, getting married, losing my parents, and just discovering what home is for me. And in all of this, I realized that the stage is now my home and where I feel most at home. And that was the show. And it was so, like, again, so many people connected because so many people have had the same experiences. You know, you don't know how many people have been through a miscarriage.
Yeah.
You don't know many people have had an abortion.
Yes.
You don't know many people have done a hysterectomy.
Yes.
Who have had, you know what I mean, who've lost both parents and how that, what that got them through and where that got them. So that is what the show is
about. And they say laughter is the best medicine, right?
Yes.
I mean, when it lowers your blood pressure, and especially when you could make fun of an experience in your own life. And if you have, like we said, a husband paying for his wife and her friends to go out there, they go to a comedy club, they go out to eat. The experience is being at the show, but it's the whole night.
Yes.
You've created something for people. And I think it's wonderful that you're able to do that, not just here in the United States, but you've been on stage in Toronto, in Jamaica, in the Bahamas, here in the U.S., Trinidad and Tobago. And how do you do your advertising? Do you do everything yourself, or do you have a company that helps market your stage presence to others?
No, I do it myself, but I do have a nice, strong team. When I say team, I have a nice community behind me. So I have a WhatsApp broadcast list. I send out my flyer, and people just share it on my behalf. That's how we were able to pack the Toronto show. That's how I was able to do the Trini shows. I do advertise on social media, Facebook, Instagram. You know, you have paid advertisements that you can do.
Yes.
I do that. And then I bully my friends into sharing it. I'm like, listen, if you don't share this flyer when I make it, you are out.
Yeah, no curry chicken and rice for you.
Yeah, I'm blocking you from my phone. I'm removing you from my life. You need to do the work now so that we could both go on this journey together.
You're right, though. Some friends, you do have to do that, because especially Trinidadians and people from the Caribbean, they know you're going to, you know, there's always the naysayers. There's always the negative ones. There's the positive ones. They're the cheerleaders. Then you have a few family members that are backstabbing. They want you to make it, but they really don't want you to make it. Because if you make it, you know, you could put all of them in a different category. Like some happy for you, some want to see you fall on stage, some want to see you.
I know. But you know what also is true? Let me tell you what has been my experience. There are a lot of people who see my stuff and they love it. They will send me a message on Facebook and say, I wish you the best, have a great show. But they don't think to share the flyer or to invite people to the show. So that I have learned that I need to have a call to action. Because it's not that they don't want to. Some people just not thinking about it. They're dealing with their own stuff too. They have a busy day ahead. So they're just like, oh, Sanana is doing a show. I'm so happy. and they move around. I have to be very specific. When you get this flyer, share it. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, so that they could come and see how good we live in.
In other words, you had to be bold face.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tell your enemies to come too, because let them see we live in good. You know what I mean? Sometimes people upset at you and you want them to come and see you have a good time. And so tell them, come see me have a good time. Come see how good my friend is doing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So that's how I advertise.
So in addition to your work on stage, you know, I think I was attracted to what you do, you've taken your craft one step further, and you are the creator of Tickled, and it's a comedy workshop for children, and you encourage creativity and confidence and self-expression. And Lord knows that a lot of the Caribbean children, when they move to the United States or immigrate to Toronto or the UK, you know, in Trinidad, you have a big mouth and you could say this and say that, and you belong to the Trini culture. But you move abroad and you're nothing. You're like, oh, my God, I don't belong here. What's going on here? You know, so I think it's good that you're helping. And that's not just in Trini kids and Caribbean, but all children. You're teaching them how to have better self-esteem. So talk to us a little bit about Tickled.
Listen, Tickled is one of my greatest accomplishments and the thing I am most proud of, because kids are funny on their own in the purest sense. They're very innocent with it, and I love that. So with Tickled, they come in, we do some warm-up exercises, and then I just let them talk. What do you not love about your parents? And then they just spill all the beans.
Oh, don't get Mikey Dujon in there.
Because they're so innocent, you know. So, and I don't have the parents stick around, because when they do stick around, the kids don't want to talk. So I ask parents to leave. I'm like, just trust me, your kids are in their hands. They leave, and then they come back at the end of the day, and the kids perform. And you can literally see their jaws drop on the ground when kids are like, well, my mother's blah, blah, blah. And the mother's like, are you a snitch? You know, like, is...
I like the one, I don't know if you follow Jamel Simpson. And I like, he comes up with some skits as well. And they're just like simple things, right? Like, you have one chicken wing left and someone puts the whole pot in the refrigerator because that person just lazy to wash the pot.
To wash the dishes. That's the other thing as an immigrant. Like, I almost...
Why are we so stuck on washing wares?
But we say, wash dishes here. Like, I mean, you know, there's certain things, and that's why when I'm on stage, I always have to remember, I can't say things like ent, and because I have to educate people that ent is not ear, nose, and throat. It really is just a word, you know?
Yes.
So things like that, I love about it. So Tickled is just kids having fun, which they love and I love.
Yeah. So you know what, you're very inspiring and funny at the same time, but you break down a lot of barriers for women as well, because we've all watched the male dominated comedy clubs, and here you are from the Caribbean and you're doing it, and so I'm very proud of you. So if someone wanted to get a hold of you, maybe to book a show or something like that, do you have a website, or how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I do. My website is cindyannboisseau.com, and everything is there. They can email me at cindyannboisseau@gmail.com or info@cindyannboisseau.com. They can follow me on Instagram, same name, cindyannboisseau.com, Threads, Facebook. I am on all the social media platforms, and I will be in Daytona Beach on May 22nd. They can come see me there too.
Yeah. Now, what are your strategies for memorizing your monologues, like the ones that you feel that this is what I want this audience to hear tonight? You've got to memorize it. What is your technique for that? Because you got to be pretty brilliant to deliver a joke and have the audience just cracking up.
Well, it's practice. That's why we do open mics. So it's repetition.
Yes.
You know, you write a joke and then you go to an open mic and you try it. Sometimes I write a joke and I'm like, oh, this is funny as hell.
Yeah.
And I go to a show and everybody's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so now I have to go back to the drawing board. So it's practice. It's practice and repetition. I write every day. I write every single day. I'm writing a joke, a premise, a short story. I'm writing. And so that is my strategy. Repetition, writing, open mics, and just doing the work.
And you probably just remember things like at different times of the day and say, oh God, I got to write this down quick. And then when, by the time you get a pen, you forget what it is.
Yeah.
But the, a lot of my stuff is about me.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to forget your own personal experiences. I am not, I mean, you have to be insane, you know what I mean? To be like, what was my life like yesterday?
Yeah.
So a lot of it is about my life. I talk about being married. I talk about being a mom. I talk about being an immigrant. And so it's at the tip of my tongue to say because it's my life.
Yeah.
So
do you ever have to combat heckling?
Of course. Of course. I mean, yeah. And I think once they're not aggressive or abrasive, I don't mind because sometimes it adds a little flavor to the show to get the people involved, particularly if the audience is a little quiet. Because some people love to laugh on the inside. You know, some people just sit there and they're like, oh, this is a really good show.
I don't like people that do that. Oh, they just sit there. I'm like, why don't you just laugh? Who cares? Just laugh.
Why don't you just stay home?
Like, give me the money and don't come.
And don't come. Let me sell over the ticket to somebody who will laugh. Donate the ticket. You know what I mean? I can't. If you laugh on the inside, please sit at the back. Don't come up front and stare me in my eye.
Yeah. You know, you remind me of a funny joke. You know, my brother Anand, he told us once that he had gone out with this girl and, you know, he was supposed to be home by 11 and he wasn't. And you know Trini moms how they are. My mother is sitting there waiting with a good little belt. Even though he was 18 or 19, she waits in there for him. And he said he was coming up the inside stairs because we had an inside stairs that, you know, you go upstairs. And he said he crawled up and he said, it looks like coast is clear. I don't see her. Mm-hmm. So he's up the stair. Then he got on the platform. He looks up. He said, I don't see her. But in the dark, when he hit the last stair, he's feeling something. And guess what they were?
Her feet.
10 toes. He said he looked up and there it was.
Oh, my God.
He said.
I thought he felt.
Huh?
All 4 foot ten of her.
The wind of the wind of a brush or a broom just flying past, because that, you know, like the breeze of something she just threw at him. Because that happened to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody said the other day, you know, what were some of the objects that Caribbean parents use on children? And you know, they had like a broom, a spatula, a belt, a whip. All these things. And somebody said, oh, I had shoes thrown at me left and right.
Oh my God.
But the thing is, if you look at the way we were raised back home, some people say they have scars from it, but the majority of people were disciplined. And if their parents didn't discipline them, the neighbors did.
Exactly.
Right. And they came out all right. They're alive and well to tell the tale. They live to tell the story.
Yes, and I agree. I mean, because like me, we never got licks. My parents didn't really hit or anything. They didn't. But they didn't need to, because with my mom's eyes, I felt I felt abused. She would just look at me, and it stung harder than any belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, General Colin Powell, before he died, he said that the one thing lacking in the world is guidance for children, right? And through comedy, I think through your comedy, you can do that with Tickled.
Of course. Yes. 100%. I've had two kids who came. I've done three installments of Tickled, and they came to these three installments. Now they've aged up. So they're like, but they came each year because they were so into it. I actually took one of them to do a show with me. She opened for me at a show I did at a church last year. And I asked, I'm like, could I bring one of my graduates to my Tickle program? And they were like, sure. Yeah. And she did 2 minutes of comedy on the stage. So it's not just, and I paid her. I paid her to do the show, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not just comedy. It's public speaking. It's about just being confident. It's being vocal. It's being honest. And it's being funny and enjoying life and enjoying the experience as they grow.
Yeah, and finding a life with purpose. You know, so for our audience who are tuning in today, we're speaking with Cindy Ann Bosshorn. I said it kind of right.
Very good.
A Trinidad and Tobago-born stand-up comedian, award-winning actor, event host, and producer. So do you find that sometimes you have to adjust your comedy based on the audience response when you're on stage, even though you had prepped for your jokes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to. You have to, because sometimes there's an elephant in the room, quote unquote, that you just have to address. So you cannot. And I think all that is part of being honest, because the crowd knows if you're not being honest. If something is going on and you are just talking about, you know, something else because you rehearsed it, you lose the audience because you need to be present. So yeah, sometimes you have to. You have to adjust. You get there and you realize, oh, the show, they said the show was sold out, but there are now just two people in the audience. And you're like, okay, I have to make this more intimate. So, I mean, you deliver your own stuff, but you have to be aware of where you are and what's going on around you.
Yeah, know your audience. It's like a politician. You have to know your audience, right?
Yeah, well, politicians are, it has a different type of comedy. You know, I don't think we have time to discuss your style of comedy. I mean, yeah,
especially Caribbean politicians. Lord have mercy. God. You could do a whole show on them.
Jesus.
She said, oh, so, but you know what? Why does Trinidadian moms seem to, I mean, a person could take a mom and they could make so much jokes about me or you. It's ourselves, right? But I remember back in the day, the Indian word for our children who were funny would be, oh, that person's so chul-chul, you know? Oh, she can't sit.
Never heard that.
Yeah, they're chill. They can't sit still. They're always making people laugh. You know, it's like this person has a full moon every time the full moon come out. You know, you know. And we didn't really know what it was, but those were pretty intelligent kids who could make the entire class laugh just by getting up to erase the blackboard and write something on the blackboard before they sit down. And you
that
had
me.
Oh, I think that. Yeah, I was thinking that was you. I could just see you doing that. Like, you know.
Oh my God! I was a class clown. I've always been the storyteller in the room. But you know, my mom used to say she didn't have cho-cho was new word. Like when I was mischievous and stuff, she would tell me I was too happy. You know, they always tell you know why, Sandy Ann? You're too happy. So I grew up thinking happiness was a mental disease. And so maybe that's why I avoid it. I'm like, I don't ever want to be happy. So that's why I stay married, because I don't want to be happy.
Yeah. But, you know, according to studies, all over the world, people have done studies. And it says that laughter has numerous health benefits, like reducing stress, improve immune function, and pain relief. Can you imagine? Pain relief. That's something you got to put on all your flyers, girl, because nowadays people have pain all over from head to toe. Some constipated, some have GI issues. They eat too much pepper before they come to your show. Whatever it is. You know?
Laughter also helps with wrinkles. Keep your face looking fresh and nice so you're not frowning all the time. You know what I mean? It really is. It's good.
Danny, our producer, is shaking his head when you say that it helps wrinkles. So maybe, I know my son's wedding is the same weekend of your show in Daytona, so I won't be able to attend, but I will catch you at one of your shows in Fort Lauderdale or in Florida another time. And Ellen will post that too.
Yes, definitely.
I look forward to it. Well, nice chatting.
Very nice chatting with you. And as we progressed through the interview, Sita's accent got a little thicker. It's amazing how that happens.
Comfortable. Yeah. She got so comfortable.
That's right.
Yeah, it's who you are. But, you know, you can't hide. Yeah,
so true. So true. We're going to take a quick station break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9, that's cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9, mattress and furniture.
Join BABA Senior Outreach for our annual Senior Support Walk and Vendor Fair. We're gathering at Wickham Park on May 23rd from 8 to noon to celebrate our seniors one step at a time. We are honored to welcome our featured guest speaker, Dr. Visa Svensson, Medical Director of Health First Aging Services, who will be sharing her expertise on senior wellness. From fresh food and light housekeeping to our Adopt-a-Senior and Companionship Program, we provide essential support for Brevard County adults age 60 and older. Come out for their giveaways, visit our senior vendors, and enter your chance to win a $500 cash prize. Your presence helps us do even more. Visit babaseniouroutreach.org to learn more, and we'll see you May 23rd from 8 to noon.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. And what a funny segment that was.
That's exactly right. And just like all of the other segments, you'll find that on our social media channels. We post it right after the show. Of course, you can listen to us live while we're on the show on 1510wwbc.com, and then we share it on our website, which is Sita Media Inc., and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, which is our social media channels. And yes, what a cool first segment.
And I tell you what,
and a great segue.
Phoebe just warmed my heart because she said, I'm going to be talking about some of the things she talked about.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I think it was a great fit. Mm-hmm. So our second segment is with Phoebe Walker.
Hi.
And she's going to talk to our listeners a little bit about her diagnosis. She's going to talk to us a little bit about dancing. She's going to talk to us about, you know, what she's done to still shine bright and not be sitting in a wheelchair day and night, which is a lot of people, once they've got a diagnosis of MS, they feel like it's the end of the world.
And you're here to give up.
You're here to give them hope.
Yes.
So go ahead. Talk to our listeners a little bit. Bring us up to speed to what you've been doing.
Okay. So for starters, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2001. In 2006, I lost my eyesight completely in both of my eyes and became a complete invalid. And it took me about a year to get over that. And I wasn't ready to give up. I was completely fighting, and it took me quite a few more years, but it was always forward. It didn't matter how fast or slow. We just always went forward. And about 10 years after I had lost my eyesight, I started dancing, doing ballroom dancing. And I learned really fast the benefits that ballroom dancing offered for my neurologic health, from joy, emotional health, and physical aspects, from balance and dexterity, believe it or not, to helping with incontinence. And so that was a complete benefit. And from there, I decided I needed to create a nonprofit to help others understand the benefits of dance after doing a whole lot of research and realizing just the plethora of research that is available for dance, specifically ballroom dance, but all different types of dance for helping people with multiple sclerosis. And that's where I created DAMS, which stands for Dance A Myelin, like the myelin sheath.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my myelin, my shoes. And then the 411 was just thrown on the end.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't use DAMS. It was already used. And I remembered that once upon a time, 411 used to be the information phone number where you could call 411 and get information.
Oh, God. Yes. The yellow phone book, remember?
Yes, right?
But you know what's sad about your story is your husband was active duty military when all this was diagnosed.
He was. He actually was getting shipped overseas post 9/11. I was very fortunate during that time, and I don't know the names of the men, but two men from my husband's unit at the time offered to take over his deployment so that he could stay stateside, and he had to drive back and forth across the state to come home and be with me, and he was there 3 nights a week, and the other 4 nights a week, I had members from the church that came to my house and brought dinners for my family, and that was for months.
But Phoebe, somewhere with being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, you said to yourself, I'm not going to let this thing get me down.
No.
You said, yes. It was almost like you had a fire inside of you that says, I'm going to fight.
Yes.
It was like a wrestler who was being, my little James, you see it in my little grandson and his wrestlers. It was like you're down, but you got up and you said, I want to fight.
And you have to keep getting up.
Right, right.
Because you get knocked down a lot.
Right. So tell our listeners a little bit about that moment when you said, I'm not going to let this get to me.
I believe it was the moment I had had MS, the blindness part of the MS for a while. And I was really concerned that it wasn't going to get any better. And I did a lot of praying in that moment and asked God. I said, if you can show me just one person who is going to truly give their heart over to you, then I will learn to live this way and do the best I can with it. So I kind of gave God an ultimatum. And
You made a bargain.
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never saw any person who gave their life over, per se, but that was the moment where everything started getting better.
And you had children.
I did.
Yeah, how did the kids react to all of this?
My children both were quite angry mm-hmm. about the situation that their mom couldn't see, couldn't do things. It was happening right about my daughter's birthday. And so I had somebody that came over and helped set up a tiny little birthday for her, but it was better than nothing. And she's the one that saw the most. She actually came home and helped me a lot after school. So
yeah, because you get depressed when you get a diagnosis like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you've taken it and you have DAMS 411. Mm-hmm. And you also have now live discussions, a Facebook group. You've got a community growing.
Yes.
So that's something new. That was, you didn't have that the last time you were here.
Right. I have my dancer group from the last time. But the newest thing is that my nonprofit organization has created a subsidiary. It is called MS Rising, and it's a really, it's a huge deal. We call it Rising Up, Making Waves. It's an MS community inspiring peers to move. It is about creating connections and inspiring movement. The worst thing for people with MS to do is to decide they're going to sit and do nothing. We have to keep moving something. It doesn't matter how big or how small. That's kind of why I love dance, because dance is that thing that just keeps you moving, and it's both physical and emotional. But now we have MS Rising, and this is a very new event. I created it only after Father's Day last year. I was having a very depressed time in my life, and I happened to be scrolling through Facebook while I was crying, and I came across Adam. He's one of my MS peers, and he has primary progressive MS. And within 4 months or so of his diagnosis, he ended up in a wheelchair. He's a younger guy too, and he thought his life was over, but I watched him. I was watching several of his videos there on Facebook about how he was talking to people and inspiring people about, he has connected with an organization called Psionic, and they created these Psionic sleeves that go on your legs, and they basically hit nerve endings in
the
right
movement.
It does. Yeah, and it's in the proper movement for making steps, and you can change it for biking or running or whatever, because it actually triggers the nerves up your leg in the motion of a walking step. So now he can actually do some walking. And I was like, you know what? At the beginning of MS, I had so many questions. It's not new to me, because my mom and my uncle had MS already, and I've already seen it. I thought it was a death sentence. I wish I had people that I could talk to back then that would give me any kind of inspiration that MS is not a death sentence. And
including, at one point, your neurologist.
Yes.
And now he's amazed, or she's amazed. He is amazed. That's devastating when the physician who diagnosed you prefer to give you a pill and say, take this 3 times a day or twice a day, knowing there's so much side effects. And here you say, well, I'm going to try something new that I can do, and I could inspire other people to do it. And they were skeptical.
Right. And I get that. I mean, he's a neurologist, and he has to stay in a good place for his license, I guess. And there just wasn't enough, in his eyes, enough research on it. And I kept taking him more and more research. But as a patient of his over the years, because he's been my doctor since 2006. So it's been quite a while now. And with me starting dancing in 2016, now you've seen how many years I've been dancing. And I have not taken medicine for MS since December of 2015.
I bet he's amazed.
Yeah. So
he could write that on his prescription pad.
Yeah.
Ballroom dancing.
So, yes. Well, the biggest thing for me is that the last 2 years, I have gone for a full year without a visit. Well, I went a full year instead of every 6 months. Usually it's every 6 months for people with MS. And he said, I'll see you in 12 months. Well, that was last July, and he gave me for my second year. So I'll see him again this July. But at my last appointment with him, he didn't ask me about taking medicine for the first time. This time he said, you know what? Neuroplasticity is a real thing. And he's talking about neuroplasticity with respect to dance and what dance benefits are coming to me. He said, neuroplasticity is a thing that takes time, and just a lot of people just don't understand. It's not like a quick fix. You can't swallow a pill and make it better now. You do this over a long period of time, and you start seeing the benefits.
So you basically want to tell people that MS shouldn't be a death sentence. It shouldn't be the end of life.
It's not.
That you went on and you found a new life, mm-hmm. a new purpose with the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
Exactly.
And you want to share that with people that's a beautiful thing. I don't know how you ladies feel about that, but don't you agree that, I mean, when you've got such a devastating diagnosis, you want somebody in your corner that could say, hey, I've been there, and here's my hand, hold it.
Right. And that's exactly it. So that's what my MS Rising is about.
And you have a panel. So talk to us about the panel.
Yeah, so the panel, I was going to say, I have a friend who, actually she's on the panel, and she wrote an MS post. So I'm kind of taking this from her, because she put to words what my vision is. And she said, MS Rising is going to be a new experience. This event will be a candid conversation between people living with MS. Everyone on the panel has MS, including the medical team. So I have a doctor and a psych nurse on the panel. And then it says, it is not going to be sponsored by Big Pharma with scripted speeches. It is not sponsored by health organizations where filters are set in place. It will be completely organic discussion that will flow without rules.
In other words, it's real people
real
facing
answers.
Real issues, and real answers.
Yes, ma'am.
They're like a former guest said, they're using their life experience to help other people.
Yeah. Right. But,
and you know, MS can affect your mind, body, spirit,
everything.
All your senses.
Everything, yes.
From head to toe. And it affects your GI tract.
Wherever you have nerves and muscles, it's affect.
So no one knows what causes MS.
No, they still can't figure it out.
They can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. And we hear a lot about stem cell treatments and all that. Does that offer hope for MS patients?
They've been doing stem cell procedures for quite a while now. And it's, I feel personally, like it's about the same as all the other medicines. It has a potential, yes, for some, but probably not all. I mean, MS is very uniquely different. So for my situation, I don't take medicine, but there are some people out there that absolutely cannot go without taking medicine. And there's, you know, you notice that different people, this person can take this medicine, but they can't take that one. And this person can take this one, but they can't take that
Sometimes
one.
Sometimes the side effects are worse than the actual drugs.
That's exactly why I don't take them.
Yeah. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking to Phoebe Walker, and she is the founder and the CEO of Dance. Go ahead. D-A-M-M-S 411.
Dance a mile in my shoes.
And you can look up what myelin, M-Y-E-L-I-N.
Yes.
So now, what were your signs and symptoms of MS? You had the blindness.
Yes.
You had weakness.
My first one... I looked like I was a drunk person. I had something called left-sided hemiataxia. So I couldn't function properly anything on the left side of my body. And we went to the hospital and they asked me to lift my legs. I lifted my right one straight up, straight down, because that was the one not affected. And then he asked me to pick up my left one, and it was moving around so much it was moving the gurney and almost kicked the doctor. And yeah. He told me to put it down, and I said, yeah, I can't do that. And it wouldn't listen to me. And so he came over and he did basically get kicked and had to take his hand and put
so
my leg
down.
So
were there specific tests for you in order for you to be diagnosed?
They at the hospital did a CAT scan and they found one large area in my brain. And then from there, obviously, they learned it was not life threatening. They sent me home with a referral to a neurologist who did the full MRI. I actually was unfortunately one of the ones that had to go through months of testing, lots of blood work, lots of electrical testing.
Yeah, because there, I MRIs. Don't know if our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends knows this, but there are different types of MS as well.
Yeah, you can't really get that through testing, though. It's just that's more from clinical observation.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of lesions in my brain, but it doesn't necessarily take me up to the next level of MS. And they're actually realizing now that they're struggling with labeling the MS because they can't find proper criteria. So
yeah, I think with the advances we've made, MS it does not shorten your life. A lot of people live. It used to,
but now it's not so much the same.
You could still live a purposeful life, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot more people living with more activity. I mean, it doesn't make it always an easy life, but you're living it.
What about diet? Did the neurologist ever talk about diet? Because every time people have a disease or they've got a diagnosis, you've got people that come out and say, well, it's you are what you eat. But it's not with MS. Yours was kind of hereditary, too.
I think there's a huge potential for that. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that will fight and say, yes, do diet this, diet that. I did not find that there's necessarily a difference from it. But as a general rule for me, I try to not eat a lot of fast food, and I try to not eat a lot of prepackaged foods. I try and keep it fresh. I don't necessarily go all gluten-free or all the other diets, fancy diets they got out there.
So here you are. At one point, you were broken, terrified, had no purpose of direction. You prayed to God for your direction and you got it. So what can our listeners expect from your nonprofit? Do you have events coming up? How can people contribute? Can they go and give us a website so they can go look and see some of the testimonials that are written and some of the people that are helping you with the MS Rising?
Mm-hmm. So you can go to my website is DAMS411.org. And you can get all the information there underneath the link for inaugural panel event, because this is our first year for the event. You'll learn about who our panel members are. You'll learn a little bit more. I have an executive summary there that explains who MS Rising is for, basically anyone with MS. I even have research at the end of that article, the executive summary that shows all the research that supports each of the areas in there for this is good for this person because of this, and this is good for this person because of this. So it shows you the benefits of it and how it can work for everybody. I also have the link there for the upcoming event. It is my inaugural MS Rising event. It is the panel event. It is on World MS Day, mm-hmm. May 30th. The entire world, it is open to the world. It's a hybrid event. So the location is in Louisville, Kentucky at the Embassy Suites downtown Louisville at 10 a.m. to noon on the 30th. Mm-hmm. And if you want to attend it virtually, the link is on my website, or you can sign up and tell me that you want to attend it virtually, and I'll send an email to you with the link. So it is open to the world, everybody around the world. I've been putting out invitations to MS societies around the world, and I've been hearing back that there is huge interest and throughout the U.S., so we've got lots of interest coming from that.
Yeah, and I would like to see you do like there's a lot of luncheons in town. Mm. It would be nice if you could do like a luncheon from like, say, 11 to like 1 and have the panelists up on stage and have the audience ask questions.
That's what we're doing.
I think that would be one, because the virtual is good, but people, when they come and they can listen, yep. Because you've gone from dancing locally, from sitting in your backyard, listening to the ships come in and listening to music, to now dancing professionally and nationally. So that's amazing, Phoebe. And and you look great.
Thank you.
I mean, I give a lot of meds for my MS patients, and to see you thriving so well, talk to us a little bit about the confidence that you have to dance nationally. And you've won quite a few competitions too.
For my demographics, yes, I have. And it's actually been a joy. I find that the emotional satisfaction of getting out there and dancing, whether I place or not, is not for me. Getting out there, putting on heels and dancing is the biggest part. And my first competition was the most challenging one, and since then I just find a lot of joy in it.
Yeah. And I think you want the audience to know, the listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, that music can move mountains. And we know that from our friend Ellen having her band.
Yes.
But you're saying that even if you're sitting in the wheelchair and you could move a shoulder, move it.
Yes.
If you could move your neck,
bat
move
your
it.
Eyes,
if
tap
you could
your fingers.
Tap your finger.
Yes.
And you're saying that whatever you can do, the movements will help you with MS, because you're living proof that it did.
Yes. It starts with the movement to music. The music itself does enough on its own, and dance on its own does enough on its own. But when you put the two of them together, it kind of does something that opens something new in your brain activity. And that's where the benefit comes
from. Yeah, because you believe that everybody, no matter what, they should feel joy, enjoy this body that God gave us.
Yes.
Because we're just a shell.
Yes.
He lives here, right?
Yes.
Or she or whoever, but it's a creator.
Whoever, yes.
Lives there. And you're saying that through music, you were able to overcome so many challenges that was posed by multiple sclerosis. So
yes.
30 seconds, take it away. Tell, if you meet somebody and you want them to support your charity, tell them what you would tell them in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, I would first of all tell you my website, DAMS411.org. There's a link there. Definitely want you to come and learn more about the benefits of dance and learn about MS Rising, the inaugural event, which is hybrid. We have both in-person and online. It's a great way to meet other people in the community and begin your connection point, and just always move something. It is so important to move something.
And we will share all of that information on our website as well as all of our social media, and get you as many as participants as we possibly can.
Yay.
In MS Rising.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our guests today for tuning in. And thank you to all of you out there in listening land for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Tune in each and every Monday here on 1510 WWBC at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you next week.